Boogity boogity. Okay, I'm going to introduce the show because usually that's what we do in the beginning.
That makes sense.
Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah.
So I went to broadcasting school and that's what they... One of the suggestions was at the beginning of the show, introduce the show.
Okay.
Say the show's name.
Uh-huh.
And if you have a guest, mention that person.
If you can do all that, I'll be really impressed.
Well, we're going to check it out right now. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Comedy Death Star, the podcast that digs into the dark side of comedy. I am your host, Denzel Myers. Our week this guest, see, that was one of the things in the school that always tossed me up. Our guest this week is stand-up comedian, writer, and America's sweatiest man.
Yup.
Asterios Kokinos.
What's going on? How you doing, Denzel? Yeah.
It's so funny that you have this very Japanese name, but you don't look Japanese.
It's a Greek name or Japanese. What the hell are you talking about?
That was a joke.
Thank God.
That was a joke.
So I'm not done the introduction. You may have heard our guest on NPR's Marketplace program.
Mm-hmm.
That's a business program. I want to find out what you talked about there.
It's very light. It's very light, though. Business. Come on.
Spike TV, Fox TV, The Nerdist, National Lampoon. You've written for all those things.
And more.
You may also know him by his secret identity, superhero name, Boisterous Coconuts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we'll meet Mr. Boisterous Coconuts in a moment. But first, our message from our corporate overlords. Comedy Central. No, this is not Comedy Central. God, I wish it was.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Aspirational.
Uh-huh.
Comedy Death Star. As a production of Actors Comedy Studio and ACSDigital.tv. I'm Denzel Myers. Our guest today is stand-up comedian Asterios Kokinos. I said it pretty well, didn't I? Like
it, your grandma. It carries a gravitas that I don't say it with. And now I wish you could just say my name all the time.
I could. Well, I mean, but Greek people kind of say it with a little...
But they say everything like that.
That's right.
That's like they would be like, I want the happy meal. That's like, it doesn't matter, everything.
Well, that's why people love the Greek people.
I like chicken fingers. It's like everything sounds like a gypsy's curse. There's nothing, you can't get away from it.
That's good. You're from New York. You just moved back to New York.
Back in New York City. I'm from Long Island, from way the hell out of Long Island.
How far out?
The end of it. Further. Keep going. Montauk, that would have been nice.
Montauk is the end.
No, the end is Orient. It's Orient Point. Because it's the point at the end of the North Fork. Montauk sits in the middle. But I'm from the North Fork.
North Fork.
I'm from a little town called South Hold. And, farming community.
Yeah.
Terrible place to grow up when you're super ethnic. And
So my little dog is here. If you keep holding your hand out, he's going to keep biting.
Well, then I'm going to keep holding my hand out because I love this dog.
You. Okay.
My God.
So get when you were a kid, did you get teased for being Greek?
When I was a kid, I got teased for everything.
No, it's like the fat kid. You said you were a fat kid.
Well, honestly, they figure out why they want to tease you later. Like, you can be teased for being too skinny.
Yeah.
You can be teased for being for having hair that's too nice. It's like when people decide they don't like you, or when people decide they like you,
it doesn't matter.
Then they work backwards. It's like right now, these people, they all have Donald Trump. You could tell them all the reasons why that the guy's a scumbag. It doesn't matter. They like him. They'll work backwards.
I think that so much of our life works in this way.
Yep.
And we think it's the opposite because, you know, our brain wants to think it's – our mind wants to think it's doing the right thing.
Yep.
But we respond emotionally and then we make up a story to fit how we feel.
That's 1,000,000% true. That sounds like landmark forum-style thinking. Is it?
Not, I mean, it may be, but I have.
All right, cool. Thank God. You haven't gone to that creepy cult?
No, I haven't been in
there. All right, good.
No, but I'm making up my own creepy cult.
Oh, well, what do I say?
Well, yeah, I'm going to give you a little bit of, give you a taste of that a little later. That's at the second half of the show. I'm going to get into that. Now,
Rip.
I have some personal questions.
I know.
I mean, just because we're just meeting, and so I would like to go in deep. There's something, you have an issue with the size of your head.
I don't have an issue with it. Hat makers do. They don't make hats big enough. I can't pull it off. There's never been a hat. The other day, I was at New York Comic Con.
Yeah.
I picked up some paper crowns from the Medieval Times booth.
Like the kind that Burger King used to have, the kind of, you know, wrapped around your head. Yeah.
Indeed. The kind that, you know, the Jughead wears.
Yeah.
And even at the last setting,
come on,
didn't work. What I did was I found a piece of tape, and I taped it to the back of my own head because I wanted to wear a paper crown.
I mean, your head doesn't look that big.
Looks can be deceiving.
Yeah, maybe it's a parallax problem because I mean, mm-hmm. There are big things behind you.
Mm-hmm.
The moon, the Empire State Building, your head looks smaller.
Let me tell you, I also think that I have a big face, so it fits my big head. If I had a small face,
yeah.
You would be like, there's a lot of head there. No, I have a big face and a big head.
Now that I'm actually really looking mm-hmm. closely, I realize all I see is face. I don't actually see any rest of your head.
I have more face than head, unlike most people, and that's why most paper crowns don't fit me.
And that's why other people are not a star, and you are.
Well, you know, other people aren't a star for a million different reasons.
A million different stars, a million different non-reasons.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't relate to anything, but when I was a kid, I thought of the insult. Somebody who really knew me and probably was angry at my parents gave me this gift when I was 9 or 10 years old called 1001 Insults for All Occasions.
Nice.
It was a book. And, you know, it had things like, oh, he's got early American features. He looks like a water buffalo. Or, you know, she's got a Roman nose, Roman all over her face. You know,
not yep.
These kinds of insults.
Yeah.
As a 10-year-old kid, I loved it completely.
Yeah.
But I thought up this insult, dimple head. And I thought it was so funny that your head could actually be negative space. Because a dimple is not like a thing. It's a indentation.
A dimple is the absence of something.
Absence. So it's a
negative. It's like the color black.
Exactly. So for your head to be the absence of taking up space in my 10-year-old mm-hmm. mind.
Today we would call that person a five head. Have you ever heard the term five head?
No, what does
that mean? That girl doesn't have a forehead. She's got a five head.
It's when
literally half of your face is forehead.
Yes.
Like Julia Roberts, for example. I'm not kidding. Look. Beautiful woman, wouldn't kick her out of bed for eating crackers. But if you were to literally 40% of her face is forehead. 40%.
That's true.
Yeah, you could put that up there. A five head.
Let's talk about you.
All right.
Look, we now haven't talked about
all right.
You're here. You got a new book that has just come out.
I do.
Toys for Cheap.
It's called Toys for Cheap. It's a fake catalog of dangerous and insane toys.
See, now why did you have to say fake? Because don't you think people might want some of these toys?
Oh, you know what?
I suck.
I might put artificial strawberry flavoring shortcake up on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
I might see if I can get Rock'em Concuss'em robots made through a Patreon.
What's the Frisbee thing?
Oh, this is... Well, it's not just an ultimate Frisbee.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate Frisbee. It's the ultimate Frisbee for playing ultimate Frisbee. And it's actually endorsed by 2-time ultimate Frisbee Hall of Fame nominee Gus Katchum Discopopoulos. He's wearing a hat that says Disco Fever right here.
Is he a real person?
Unfortunately, no. Wouldn't that be great? It's a fake catalog. I wish it was real. I wish everything in this catalog was real, because then I would have money, and I don't right now.
I saw something in there that actually I have seen in the world, which is those pink machine guns.
Oh, yes. Guns for girls.
Guns for girls.
The sisters are killing it for themselves.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. No, they really have that. Guns that have a smaller handle for women.
Oh, yeah.
Guns that come in pink.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well,
if you're gonna
take someone out of this world, you should do it in the most adorable and sexiest way possible. I always say.
Yes, and 90-something% of the time you have your gun, it's just a fashion accessory anyway.
It's a fashion statement. It's a confidence booster. That's absolutely true. It's a penis extension, or I guess in this case, it makes you feel like maybe your vagina is a little bigger. Who knows? But I will definitely say they do have.
Do women want big? You said vagina.
That's how you pronounce it. It's vagina. No, what? Oh, well, yeah, sí, en español.
Yeah.
Sí. It's a
very good baseball. A bit very good to me. I love the vagina.
Exactly.
Okay, got it. Yes, I interrupted.
They do sell little .22 caliber handguns just for the ladies.
Yes.
It's weird. It's like, would you like the power that God himself has over life and death? Well, sure, of course I would. But don't you still want to feel delicate and pretty? Oh, of course I do. Oh, here you go. Here's a 22 for you, lady.
Fresh.
Fresh.
Feel fresh.
Yeah. Other feminine killing products include, I bought my ex-girlfriend once a stun gun that was shaped like lipstick. I got it at Fry's Electronics in Burbank. Mm-hmm. And it looks like a tube of lipstick, but if you push the bottom, it can deliver 100,000 volts. Because she was always walking through Venice. And I was like, that's very dangerous to do at night. And she's like, no, it's not. And so I was like, let me buy you a stun gun. And the reason that she eventually had to throw it away was that she kept accidentally electrocuting herself when reaching into her purse.
So it's like a stun. We need a different word than
sure.
gun. Stun.
Stun baton.
Stun baton.
Stun weapon.
Stun lipstick. Stun.
Stun stick.
Stun stick.
It's a stun stick,
stun
yeah.
Stun stick.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
The stun stick.
They also had one that looks like a pen.
Oh, yeah.
So for your James Bond style murder sprees. So it's funny the things you can find at Fry's Electronics. I'm sure you've been Fry's, right? How long have you lived in Los Angeles?
6 years. 5 years. 5 years. 6 years.
You have you been to Fry's?
I've been to Fry's.
Okay. Just making sure.
Yeah. No, I've been to Fry's.
All right. Good. Otherwise, I would have had to immediately leave this podcast. What? This guy's not a nerd. Let's move it.
Now, I had a question about nerds.
What you got?
Nerdism has made a huge comeback in the past decade plus.
It's,
I mean, when I was a kid,
yep.
it was an insult.
Yes,
sure.
Definitely.
For sure.
Now it's mainstream. Now it's weird to be a jock. Now the bullies are now nerds, and the jocks are now bullied. And that's the way it is.
So we've had a little turnabout as fair play.
It's the fairest of play, but at the same time, at least jocks know how to party. Nerds are the worst jocks because a nerd will never let go of a perceived slight. Like a nerd will obsess and obsess and obsess. It's why honestly I feel like we need a bully revolution. We need more jocks because like these nerds that they're impossible to talk to and hang out with and listen to. They're all like they're so sensitive. These nerds.
Well, yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I think that part of being a nerd is being kind of insecure, second guessing yourself, being oversensitive about things, right? Things that you can't prevent. Things that your mom makes you wear, the fact that you have braces, you know what I mean?
Yes.
You have an older brother or sister that is, you're getting their clothes. You can't help those things.
They're bigger than you. There's nothing you can do about that. There's nothing you can do about that. They are bigger than you. They will always be. Until you become old enough that everything kind of evens out, it's like you can't outthink, out-hope, or out-wish being smaller than your big brother who's going to beat you up. There's nothing you can do. You feel powerless.
Well, I think as the big brother, it's part of your responsibility. You know, you're making your little brother / sister a better person
mm-hmm.
by introducing them to the realities of the world at a young age when they have a chance to actually assimilate. Because if you get to be like an older kid and nobody's pushed your head in the toilet or, you know, stuffed you under the bed and not let you out, it's kind of a rude awakening. When you get to junior high and somebody slams you and puts you in the locker for the first time, you don't want that to be the first time.
No, you're right.
That's
which
traumatic.
Is why my which
That's
is why
traumatic.
My older sister put me through an intensive toilet and locker training camp. I would wake up every morning and get my face shoved. It's like, it's interesting. I know what you're talking about the build breaking them down to build them up model, but I'm going to say this.
Catholic Church has been using it for a long time.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they've been around forever, right?
Yeah.
They got some really nice property.
I interrupted. So you no. were going to say about that.
Who the hell knows what I was – I don't even remember what I was going to say. But I have never taken a punch. No one has ever punched me. And I know that when it eventually happens, it's going to feel like the world fell down. it like when it, eventually when I get punched, I'm going to be like, everything's a lie. I have no security. There is no safety. This like sense of ego that I've built up is doesn't exist. But until then, I feel pretty happy about not getting punched.
You're not the guy that people punch a lot.
You would think.
But you said you've never been punched. You seem very happy. You're a smiley guy. You seem like a guy that people like.
I think people feel too sorry for me. I don't think that's why. I think that's why they don't punch me. I think they look at me and they're like, "That guy's got enough problems."
They look at your enormous head.
And yep. Face.
They look at your skinny, sexy, but skinny legs.
Thank you. I mean, sexy.
You know, with the head and the
top skinny
don't match exactly.
No, I'm kind of like a. I'm unlike the song "Baby Got Back." Mm-hmm. I'm big in the middle, and I've got much back. That's very true. But I'm a little at the bottom. I'm talking about my ankles. But what was I going to say? The thing is, if you wanted to punch, and not you, please don't.
If one wanted
to punch me in the face, there's just so much opportunity. Yeah. It's a big face. It's a big, and also my face looks squishy, so you don't need to worry about hurting your knuckles.
No, those two things are true.
Yes.
I was a guy that wanted to punch people in the face. You're right. I would have hard time resisting because you look like you have a face that is made to be punched.
That's exactly right.
Without getting angry or anything.
No.
It's just like, you're right. It's big. It's puffy. It's like a nice target.
Yeah. It's like a beginner's punchable face. It's just like, you know, work your way up to the guy who's got like those rock hard cheekbones. Yeah. Those cheekbones like diamonds. Like, work your way up to the guy who's got like the angled perfect nose. Like, I had a wide nose. Because the first time you throw a punch, I imagine you're going to be all hopped up. You're going to have all this adrenaline.
Yeah.
You're not going to know whether you're coming or going. You want a lot of room for error, and that's what you find in my face.
A lot of room for error.
Exactly.
That I like. We got off.
Oh, I'll talk about my book all day.
No, I want to say, what's happening with this book? I mean, it's full of fake toys that somebody might want but are dangerous. Give us some examples, some of your favorites.
Sure. Let's see. We've got
the magic one ball there.
We've got the magic one ball, which it's the fortune telling ball that's always correct.
Yes.
It's only got one fortune in it, and the fortune says, "Don't try. You'll just get upset when you fail." And that's true 100% of the time.
100% of the
time. It's the fortune telling ball that's always correct. We've got, we've got Tickle Me Elmore Leonard. He says over 10 spare pithy phrases that evoke humanity's worst. So if you're looking for a toy that's going to complain about how Get Shorty was ruined in editing, you're going to want to pick up Tickle Me Elmore Leonard.
Did he really complain about that? That it was ruined in editing?
He complained about everything.
Everything.
God bless him.
Yeah.
We've got...
I like the Jimmy Carter in action figure.
Yes, he goes, I'm sorry. It's the perfect gift for someone who only knows about Carter through the lens of 80s stand-up.
Now, here's what I'm going to say that I remember about Jimmy Carter.
Talk to me.
There was a moment when, I think it might have been in a presidential debate, where he was challenged about his feelings about his wife and cheating and all that kind of stuff. He's never cheated on his wife. But at some moment, he admitted that he...
Lusted in his heart.
And it was like this big deal that he said, no, I've been faithful to my wife, but I will admit that I've lusted in my heart. And I'm just thinking about that compared to Donald Trump. it's really... I mean... It's just unbelievable.
Oh, how far we've fallen.
Unbelievable. Tell me.
The guy literally felt guilty about finding other women attractive. So guilty that he had to talk about it on TV. Cut to Donald Trump shaking Tic Tacs around, bragging about groping.
I heard somebody joking about Tic Tacs. Was it on the tape where they were saying those are awfully cheap mints?
Yeah.
He was like, what? You're a billionaire? What do you got? Tic Tacs is like 49 cents.
Yeah, he gets them. He has them because he's a big fat guy. I'll tell you why he's got Tic Tacs. Because I know why he's got Tic Tacs. He's got Tic Tacs because he's a big fat guy, Donald Trump. Yeah. He went on Dr. Oz, and he is technically medically obese. Mm-hmm. I'm not fat shaming him, although I'm definitely fat shaming him. He's a big fat guy. When you're a big fat guy, your pockets are tight. They're bound. You don't want a big thing of mints. You want this little thing of Tic Tacs because, look, you put some Altoids in there, it's bothering your big fat thighs all day.
I understand.
That's what's happening.
All right. So you can walk up to Donald Trump and say, hey, is that a half roll of Tums in your pocket, or you just happy to see me?
Oh, I'm not allowed to talk about Tums. You're They're a client of mine.
You're not allowed to talk
not
about
Not allowed to talk about Tums.
All right, we're not going to talk about Tums.
Thank you.
We're not going to talk about tell me about, what else? Yeah, John Candyland.
John Candyland. You can play as John Candy's character from Spaceballs. Mm-hmm. You can play as Harry Crumb. And it is the game that benefited most from the death of John Belushi. That's the tagline for the game. So if you're looking to depress your kids about the fun they could have had.
Yeah.
Because we only have enough, I know we're talking about weight a lot, we only have enough space in the culture for one fat person at a time. That's it.
So it's, who is it now?
I hate to say it, but unfortunately it's Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah,
and
okay.
it's what's his name from, who was nominated for an Oscar for The Wolf
Kevin
of Wall
James.
Street.
No.
No, but he's
Wait,
not.
Wolf of Wall Street. Oh, yeah. Kevin James. What is, who's the guy from Wolf of Wall Street?
He was also in Moneyball.
The shorty guy. Yeah, shorty guy.
It's like those are, you're like, Hollywood's allowed to have two fat stars. Like, for a while it was John Candy, and then he unfortunately passed away. And then he got replaced by
Chris Farley.
Exactly. Before that, it was obviously John Belushi. And then, for women, it's the same thing. You're allowed to have one overweight comedy actress, one overweight comedy actor. Kevin James, unfortunately, look. I'm not going to say unfortunately, the guy's a billionaire. But he's on TV again because there's no room in the culture for two overweight actors in Hollywood. There's just not. Yeah. We've got that one guy from Wolf of Wall Street who's so famous that neither of us can name him besides the fact that we both lived in Los Angeles.
What's his name? Jason somebody?
No, that guy's not fat anymore. Jason Segel? No, Jason Segel's... No, he's good.
He slimmed down.
He slimmed down.
Carrying that baby around and...
Exactly. I'm looking up the
How I Met Your Mother.
Exactly. I'm looking up the name of
this
guy.
Yeah, we know the guy.
You know what I'm talking about.
This book, you wrote it with who? Somebody you know.
I wrote it. I entirely wrote it. But it was drawn by a guy named Jimmy Hasse, who is the lead artist for The Onion. Everything in it was drawn by Jimmy Hasse. And it's even the... Billy Joel, the customizable card game and Innocent Man expansion set. Even these were drawn by Jimmy Hasse. So, if you're looking for Magic the Gathering cards that have a Billy Joel flavor, for example, Uptown Girl, when you play it, you exhaust all Uptown boys in play, but you charm one downtown guy. It costs two pairs of Wayfarer sunglasses and three pianos to play. He drew this. He's the one that drew Billy Joel dressed as Shakespeare here playing piano. He did it. He did it. Jimmy Hasse's the best goddamn guy in the world. He drew everything.
Yeah.
I love him.
That's good.
He drew the bride in chief. Bride to be. The president.
Dun, dun, dun.
If you want a toy that can do both, you get your daughter bride in chief because she can dress her up like it's her wedding day, but then she can also have her Bomberan.
Could do it on the same day.
That's exactly what happens in this toy. It's great.
You don't have to even change. You don't have to change outfits or anything.
No, why? Didn't you see what Obama was dressed like when he killed Osama bin Laden?
He had pajamas on.
Yeah, exactly. The guy's wearing his PJs. God, isn't it great, the future?
America.
See,
when I was a younger man in the 90s, and this information superhighway was just getting going. Mm-hmm. Notice nobody ever uses that phrase, information superhighway.
I'm the only one that calls it the World Wide Web. I'm with you.
So what they said was the best thing about this thing, this new thing, is that you can shop in your pajamas. Like all the ads had people in bed or in their pajamas with their dog and they were shopping. But you could also bomb a foreign country in your pajamas.
Exactly. That you bought in your pajamas. You're in your pajamas. You're buying new pajamas because you love pajamas, clearly. And then, you'll hop down in the Situation Room, say SEAL Team 6 is a go, shoot a guy in the head, throw his body into the ocean, and then Bob's your uncle, you're home in time for dinner.
And close the extra tabs and you're back to shopping.
That's exactly right. Clear your browser history so nobody knows that you pushed the button marked execute.
Private mode.
Abbottabot raid. Private mode. Yes, sir.
Now, this book was is published by Devastator Press.
The Devastator Press. They're the only publishing company in the world that exclusively publishes comedy.
And you're an editor there.
I'm an editor there,
the
yes.
editor?
No.
An editor.
I'm an editor there.
An editor.
Yeah. Because we have there's too much. I couldn't do it all. It doesn't pay anything.
Yeah, okay.
So that's another reason why I can't do it.
Well, you could. You could. Now, I just want to ask you about one more children book thing. There's something I found that says the Unholy Children's Book Massacre.
I did that at New York Comic Con, yes.
Well, what is that? That sounds like it's got a lot of words that I like together.
That's true.
But then I'm not sure together what they add up to.
I like the Caldecott Award, the Newbery Award, and Brutal Murder. So I love all these things. At New York Comic Con, me and a bunch of other authors from Devastator Press, we read funny parodies of children's books. It was so much fun. New York Comic Con, the audience was completely sold out. I was late, actually, because I was leaving my day job to go downtown to the Javits Center to do it. And I get in, they're like, we can't let you in. It's a full house. And I'm like, I have to perform. Like, it's so funny because all the people at New York Comic Con, they're all volunteers. All the staffers are all volunteers. And so they're all nerds. They don't have basic communication skills. This, like, adorable, slightly chubby 19-year-old Asian man is telling me that I'm not allowed in, just like me. Exactly. I was like, I was looking into a mirror into the past. And
I mean, you said Asian. It's
like, I'm Chinese. I'm a quarter Chinese. I'm a quarter Chinese.
You are.
Yeah, my Chinese name is Moon Tong Jiu Yan. I know that everything else I've said on this conversation is a lie and a joke. That is the truth.
Well, so when I asked you, you're Japanese and you have this crazy.
And I said, no, I'm Chinese.
You said, no, but I was actually closer than.
Because I got Chinese eyes. Look at these eyes.
Okay.
Look at him!
I just thought
you look at these eyes!
You could have been punched in the face a lot.
You know what?
That's all the puffy things.
If I did, I'd be more confident. I'm walking around terrified of being punched. It's at any
Greek
moment.
And Chinese.
And Portuguese. And a little bit West Indian. And all of that is true.
Okay. All right. No, I understand.
It's a melting pot. It's a melted pot. This pot has been left out of the sun too long.
Now,
yes, sir.
I'm going to keep asking some other questions.
Talk to me.
Yeah. This thing about America's Sweatiest Man, is that a name you gave to yourself or somebody else gave it to you, like your third grade teacher?
Oh, no. You got to brand yourself. I have a couple of nicknames. I'm America's Sweatiest Man. I'm America's Acquaintance. Mm-hmm. And I'm also I'm America's Wingman. Mm-hmm. I think I have one more. I'm the good boy of comedy.
Air quotes. You put air quotes.
Well, because they always put quotes around bad boy. Like, if you're the bad boy of comedy.
You got to have quotes.
They put, I'm the good boy of comedy.
Yeah, I was watching some of your stuff. You're pretty clean.
You know what? Only because it doesn't occur to me. Like, it's not by choice. Like, Jerry Seinfeld at one point very clearly made the choice. Like, he even talks about it. And it's like, I don't know. It doesn't occur. There's some really dirty shit in this book, in this Toys for Cheap book, but it's like, and then sometimes I'll be on stage and like, I will curse or something. Cause it's just like, well, I'm just saying what's on my mind. And people will be like, oh, I didn't know you were dirty. And I'm just me.
Yeah.
I'm just me. I don't know what to be. I don't know how else to be. I'm just me. I'm the guy. I'm the only one.
Good boy.
The good boy of comedy. Yeah.
Now, do you have a hairy back? Cause you seem like a guy who could have.
No, 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 no. Yeah. I have a hairy chest.
Yeah.
Let's just say there's a certain region on a man's body where there's hair, mm-hmm. and it's a never-ending expanse.
Once it gets started.
There's no
train.
There's no science has yet to find it. Much like our universe, mm-hmm. it is infinitely expanding.
Yes.
Science, mathematics, the arcane arts, no one has solved the mystery of when it stops.
And like hair growing out of your ears and your nostrils, same thing. It just keeps.
That stuff I can control.
Really?
That stuff I can control. Okay. There's no. As a teenager, I said to myself, maybe I can get this situation that I'm this very special, delicate situation under control. And I would try and try and try. And I had to give up. That's how it's going to be.
So everybody listening at home,
yeah.
in their cars.
Sure.
are saying to themselves, okay, the host asked if he had a hairy back. He said no.
Yeah, I don't.
And then he said there's a region in a man's body. And then the host mm-hmm. said, well, there's ear and nose hair.
I'm not talking about that. Look, why would you say that? Okay.
And so the people at home or yep. in their cars are saying, so what the hell is left? Like, what is this? What is this mysterious region?
Mm-hmm. And that's
hair
that's
is
what
out
I call
of
it.
Control.
Yep. I go to the doctor. I go, I'm having problems with my region. That's what I call it. I'm going to say that via process of elimination, and we're not talking about my arms.
Now you're getting funny. Now there's a pun there. You're the process of elimination,
which is ironically what it's you. Oh my God, you're right.
You're dropping hints all over the place.
Damn, I thought I was being clever. I'm not. What do you got?
We're going to go to the next question.
Let's do it.
You have a somewhat quirky sleeping or bedtime ritual. What is it?
Oh my God, I don't remember. I'll tell you what I'm doing these days. And again, I have to say this. This is another client, but I do this.
Do, yeah.
I wear 2 Breathe Right nasal strips at night.
2?
I wear 2 of them because I have a very big nose. And I get them for free. And so I said to myself, 1 is good, 2 is better. I don't believe that is an authorized usage. I think if you were to ask lawyers or doctors, should you use... No, you know what? You should use them as directed, audience. That's what I'll say. Use Breathe Right nasal strips as directed and consult your physician if you have any questions. Me, personally... I live on the edge. I'm wearing 2.
So, are they a client of yours, the Breathe Right nasal strip people?
That is as far as I will go into it because
that's totally fine.
Exactly. Legally, I have to say that.
Yes, I understand. But so you use 2 at night, which yeah. is not, you know, they have on the cereal box serving suggestion.
Yes.
So this is not the serving suggestion, but of course you can eat cereal any way you want. You don't have to eat it with bacon and eggs as part of a good breakfast.
As part of a complete no.
Complete breakfast, sorry.
Yeah. By the way, did you hear all of the studies that showed that eating a big breakfast helps you lose weight were completely funded by General Mills and Kellogg's? Isn't that great?
Well, but it's very still scientific.
Oh, well, of course.
I mean, scientific method is scientific method. It's not like you just do anything willy-nilly.
Yeah. Hypothesis. I want to sell more cereal. You know, experiment. What's the control? Not eating cereal. Results. I'm sad. I didn't eat enough cereal.
Well, those, you know, the history of those companies is they were health food companies.
Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah. Did you not know that? Or you're
just, I had no idea.
Saying, no, I'm full of shit.
I had no idea Kellogg's was originally a health food company because all I can think of is just pouring carbs into my throat.
Well, I mean, in General Mills, Battle Creek, Michigan, around the turn of the century or maybe slightly after, they started to have this kind of like health sanatorium, places you would go to kind of get healthy, and they would have those kind of massaging, you know, things to help shake the weight out.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they did in Battle Creek, Michigan was to set up this whole kind of research institute about, you know, healthful eating, and these cereal products were the first parts of that. Of that business. So,
oh my God.
I'm pretty sure I'm not just talking out of my ass. I do that.
Well, yeah. But what would you have to gain from saying, like, it's like, that guy thinks Kellogg's uses L health food. I win again. Denzel won World Zero. Like, no. There's nothing. By the way.
I could be starting this meme. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you say a thing is true, and then you put it out in the universe, like, Donald Trump has small hands. Why? Dot, dot, dot. And then later it comes back to you, and you hear someone else say it,
mm-hmm.
and you realize, I started that?
Yeah. That's a friend of mine did that with the term, he was like, her name's Sarah Horvath, and she started saying, like, that guy's got spaghetti coming out of his pockets. That guy's so crazy he's got spaghetti coming out of his pockets. And then I said it on a different podcast, and then people started saying it, and then 4 months later the host says it, and now all his hundreds of thousands of listeners are saying it now. And she literally said to herself, I want to start this, and I'm going to start this, and she did.
And it happened.
And it happened. Google it.
I'm going to Google it as soon as I get home.
All right. I'm sorry. I have one question before we move on. I'm so sorry. Okay. Was there a General Mills? And if so, did he lead an army that included Captain Crunch?
I'm going to look that up and get back to you.
Thank you, because I like the idea of a General Mills just being like, Count Chocula, Captain Crunch, Lucky the Leprechaun, you're coming with me. We're going to go kill Hitler. Just putting together the Avengers of breakfast mascots led by General Mills.
General Mills.
I like this idea. Because Battle Creek, Michigan.
Right.
Why? What battle happened there? What was the Battle of Battle Creek?
Battle Creek, General Mills.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
All right, I'm going to look it up. Battle Creek, Michigan,
mm-hmm.
and General Mills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right. Interesting. Anything else about sleeping? Does it work, the nasal strips? Does it help you breathe, or does it help you not snore?
It helps me with everything, honestly. Yeah. It helps me not snore. It helps me sleep longer and deeper. Because, literally, imagine this. Here, take your hands. Take your hands out in front of you. Now slap your cheeks, and now pull on your face skin, and take a deep breath. It's more oxygen. It's just better. If I could do this all day, just squeeze my cheeks like two vice grips so I could open my nose, I would do it all day. And that's what a Breathe Right nasal strip does. There are other appliances that do that. There are these little discs that you shove up your nostrils.
Yeah, yeah.
They open. My sister uses those. Too much air. That's my problem with those. Mm-hmm. Woke up, my fucking nose is like a goddamn attic. It's so dry up there. Can't do it. I like the Breathe Right strip. That's just me.
Breathe Right strips. All right. Yeah. Okay. As a child, you had an imaginary friend.
I don't think I did. Oh, no. Where did you find this out? What did I say?
Your imaginary friend also had an imaginary friend. Where are they now?
Is this a hypothetical question? Or is this based on research that you did? Because I forgot about this.
Look, I'm from Philadelphia. I just say things, and if they're not true, then people tell me to shut up, and I move on. There's not a question here.
All right. I didn't. I wanted one.
You had no imaginary friend.
I wanted one. When I was a kid, I wanted so badly to access the unlimited power of my imagination. I'm not kidding. I remember I had a shit ton of action figures. Mm-hmm. And I would sit with them, and I would try to play out little stories. And I would, try really hard. I would see other kids getting lost in these fantastic worlds. And I'm just like, yeah, these are just some plastic men. I can't get anything going up here. I bought so many Star Trek The Next Generation action figures. I had the bridge. I had the Enterprise. I had everything it took to tell a complete story. The entire bridge crew. I had some Klingons. I had some Borg. I had enemies and friends. And I couldn't get it going. I couldn't access that. It's like when you watch the movie Toy Story, it's about this kid. He gets lost with his toys. He gets lost. I couldn't do it.
So what you needed was imagination porn.
Yes.
To just kind of get that engine prime, the pump going.
The porn that you show pandas to get pandas to have sex, where it's like, this is how you do it. This is how you do it.
Yeah.
No, I needed something. Whatever I had wasn't working.
So that's like a disability as a child to have a lack of imagination, and you knew that you couldn't quite get it. Get lost. Your willing suspension of disbelief would not.
Was an suspend. Unwilling. Exactly.
It wouldn't suspend.
My suspension was shot.
Your fucked up suspension. Yeah.
I honestly think that a lot of comedians. It's like a lot of comedians are somewhere on the autism spectrum. You know, it's a big wide spectrum. The funniest comedians I know are somewhere on this spectrum, and I think I think I'm somewhere on that continuum. Because one of the things that people who are on the autism spectrum can't do is they can't get lost in a world of imagination. Yeah. That's what I think. How about you? When you played with G.I. Joes, when you played with action figures, could you do it? Could you go nuts with those guys?
Yeah, I don't remember doing it with a G.I. Joe, but I had like baseball cards and these baseball coins with all these different players when I was a kid, and then I would either like flick them around the house or flip them.
Yeah.
And I would play whole games of baseball with the players, like a fantasy baseball team with these cards in some way that I totally made up on my own. So I'm going to say I don't have your problem, or I didn't have your problem then. Maybe I have it now.
No, that's fun. What you just described sounds like actual fun. Like, I would love to take – okay, so I got a shitload of baseball cards. So I'm fielding two teams. I know I need some good batter, some good pitcher, some good this, some good that. I'm building these rosters. And then, like, I could even see myself putting cards down. Like, I put a card I put four cards in the diamond for first, second, third, and home. Pitcher in the middle, outfielders, have runners, have hitters. That is a really good way to play with baseball cards, because otherwise they're just – and you flick them.
You flip them.
Yeah.
Where they land and if they're face up or face down. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean
– that sounds like fun.
But so somehow something changed. Did you get access to your imagination?
No. As a
comedian?
Never.
Come on.
Still, no. Absolutely not. The only jokes I can tell are things that actually happened to me. Like, that's it. I can't, like, sit down and be like, what if something crazy happened? It's like, I don't know. I would probably leave. Like, if a crazy guy walked in and started – it's like anytime you watch a sketch, anytime you watch, like, a sketch comedy, like on Mad TV, you watch a sketch and, like, someone comes into the laundromat and they're like, I'm Laundromat Larry. Let me tell – let me eat this soap. I poop quarters. Like, there's always – it's just like – yeah, if a guy came in and started fucking with my clothes, I would take my clothes and leave. I wouldn't stand there for 7 minutes acting like the straight man and be like, hey, leave my clothes alone. They're expensive. Hey, that's my soap. What are you doing? Someone get this guy out of here. Like, no, I would just go. I never understand the straight man in comedy. It's just like, what do you do? Leave.
Yeah, why are you still there?
Why are you still there? Playing Strangers with Automobiles, that makes sense. These two guys got to get home. All right? That makes sense to me. But you watch a sketch where it's like, there's some guy like Massive Head Wound Harry.
Yeah.
Why don't they all leave that party? There's a guy with a massive head wound there.
Because then the show would be over, and then that doesn't, you know, that doesn't help anybody.
That's what I'm saying. I have no access to the willing suspension of disbelief. I see these things, and I'm just like, this is dumb. I don't like this.
So what about things like sitcoms? Because there's a lot of what you're talking about in sitcoms.
Yeah, but Seinfeld is real. Like, you watch Seinfeld and you're like, yeah, I know these people. I know crazy people. I know crazy, neurotic
crazy
people.
Not imaginative people.
Nope.
Just crazy. Yeah.
Kramer is a legitimately insane person. Like, you know, there are smooth operators like Kramer out there who will fool three Japanese people into sleeping in his dressers. Like, that could happen. A Japanese immigrant recently went to Germany. He got stuck in Germany for weeks because they thought he was a refugee and he was too polite to say anything. So he's in a German refugee camp for weeks and weeks. They think he's homeless. They think he's poor. He's like a guy that runs a business and has a family.
He's too polite to correct them.
He was honest. Yeah, you can read about it in the New York Times. He was just like, well, I didn't want to be rude.
I didn't want to tell them they were wrong.
Yeah. He didn't want them to lose face. Think about it, Denzel. All
right, I'm going to switch things up here.
Mm.
Now, this is a real question.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Somewhere I saw along the way, maybe you said it, maybe I read it, that I'm not sure how old you are, but you were thinking that it was time for you to have a baby.
Yes.
Is that that's a recent development?
I don't want a baby, but I get the appeal now. When I was a kid, I did not understand why you would want a baby. I'm like, that just seems like a lot of work. It's like, and a lot of money. All I'm doing, I'm in my teens, I'm in my 20s, I'm seeing these babies. I'm just thinking, like, I can barely afford my own things. And now I got to buy things for this baby that the baby's going to outgrow. And it's like, and what happens when you drop the baby? You got to get a new one. Like, it's just,
no,
it's.
No, 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 no. Babies bounce.
They do?
Oh, yeah. No, we've done.
Not the way I throw them.
No, no, no. We've done a lot of testing.
Uh-huh.
And babies bounce somewhere between a basketball and a mango.
Really?
There's a little range in there, and most babies, yeah.
They're like a mango ball.
Kind of. It's a, yeah. As we get older, we don't bounce as well, but babies definitely bounce.
Last night, I'm watching improv. I see a guy, he's 32 years old.
Yeah.
He does a leaping split. He lands on his knee, and all I can think of is like, this guy's going to be feeling this one joke for weeks. This poor guy. But now, look, now I see babies, and I'm like, they're a backup copy of yourself. That's what they are. It's like, okay, I'm eventually going to die. I need my DNA stored somewhere.
Yeah.
It's like, that's what a baby is. A baby is like, it's like a USB drive of you just walking around, pooping and whatever the hell babies are. I barely even know. Whatever I don't think I've ever met one. I wonder.
Hold up liquor stores, whatever they do.
Whatever, exactly. And you know what? Babies would make the perfect liquor store hold up artist because they could sneak under that little window through the bulletproof glass. They're not baby proof glass, it's bulletproof glass.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
For a reason.
Exactly.
Yeah. See, they're also kind of flexible and malleable.
Yep.
So you can stuff them. You stuff them in there.
That's exactly.
They don't fit. You got to like jam them.
You got a plunger.
Yeah.
You get them in there. Yeah. They go put all the money in my diaper. Then you suction them right
fill
out.
Fill it up.
Fill it up, or I will. And then would never see a baby criminal coming.
But this is more appealing to you having a backup copy of yourself.
I need one. I'm not taking very good care of the first generation model of a Stereos.
Yeah.
I'm not putting much maintenance into this, but so it's like if I had a couple of backups, anything happens to me, all my thoughts and opinions are still out there, warping some other poor kid. It'd be great. It'd be nice. Immortality, man.
Now this technology about cloning ourselves or having a backup copy, I think is coming soon.
You mean the singularity?
Is that what they're calling it these days?
The cloud. Everyone's going to put their minds into the cloud. Yeah, we'll all make it.
What
I think we'll
mean,
be cool.
The singularity. I never quite really understood what that means, the singularity.
The singularity, it's the singular moment where life as we know it and technology as we develop it merge into one and everyone lives forever. We all upload our consciousness and our bodies, exactly as they are now, into a massive computer mainframe that is self-perpetuating, and our thoughts, our experiences, our hopes and dreams and lives live as long as this computer operates, which is forever. The singularity.
I think Arthur C. Clarke wrote a story about this.
Yep.
Did he?
Yep.
Right? Way back in the day.
Yes.
Before there was even the word, the singularity.
He might have. I mean, a lot of this stuff these old sci-fi guys coined, and then we just thought to ourselves, we'll just use that. Robotics. It's like, well, that's an Asimov term. We still use it. You know, nucleics, Asimov. It's like the idea of a space elevator, which is completely developable. We could make a space elevator tomorrow if we had the money. Like,
wait, what's a space elevator do?
A space elevator, it is literally an elevator that takes you straight up to the moon.
So we don't need then this. You could have a choice. You could take the Stairway to Heaven, or you could take the elevator.
Yes.
But when I think of the elevator in space, of course, I think about that Einstein relativity example where you're in the elevator and somebody shoots the bullet through. Are you familiar with that?
No.
Well, he says essentially that if you were in an elevator traveling through space at a constant rate of acceleration, it would feel just like on Earth, right?
Yeah.
You would not have the experience of moving, even though you are moving, because it would be a constant thing and you would think you're standing still, but you would feel gravity.
Yes.
Right? So you're in this elevator going through space and someone shoots a bullet that passes through the elevator. And because it's on a different line, you would see the bullet enter at a certain height and then it would exit the elevator at a different height from the floor.
True.
And it would look to you like the bullet was curved, the bullet path was curved, even though it's actually your path that is moving. So that was one of his examples of how you could see relativity in action in this elevator in space.
Damn! That's the best possible way. That's the first time anyone's ever explained relativity to me in a way where I'm like, oh, relative to you,
relative,
it's curved.
Yes.
But relative to the universe, it's straight. Relativity.
It's straight and it's curved at the same time. That's what relativity is about.
I'll be goddamned.
Well, probably, but it's still true.
How? We can't top that. That was really great. What else you got, Denzel? Hook me up. Give me the question. I'll answer anything you got.
How old were you when you first ran away from home?
12. 12. Got in a fight with my parents. Said to myself, I'm out of here. And then I think I snuck back in. And then they found me and they were like, get out. I thought you were running away. And I was like, no. Let's let bygones be bygones.
That old thing. Who does that anymore?
Does that sound like me?
Away.
Does that sound like me? Why would I leave?
Oh. Seriously, what's for dinner?
Yeah. I hope it's chicken fingers. I hear really good things.
Where'd you go when you ran away?
Around the corner.
How long was it that you were away?
Like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I could... There's nothing to do out there.
No, it's really boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. No toys, no food, no friends.
Nah, I don't know why you would ever run away. And then there are people that don't have a home. And it's like...
Where do they run away to? If you're homeless and you want to run away...
I think you run away to someone else's home. I think you run away to home. Someone else's. And then they find you.
I never realized how disadvantaged homeless people really are.
This is it. They don't even have that.
Wow.
They can't even leave it all behind.
If you're a homeless kid and you get mad at your parents, where do you go?
Yep.
Where do you run away?
That's exactly right.
Jeez.
Yep.
Those poor kids.
Think about it.
I have this thing I mentioned. I had started a cult.
Yeah.
It's more like a spiritual movement.
Sure.
God, cults.
Yeah.
Very 70s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You may be familiar with the... comedy trope of someone getting hit in the face with a pie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now most of the time when pies are thrown, they're thrown with some kind of anger or aggression.
Yes.
But we're going to change that. What I've done is to give permission to people that I know and love, family and friends, to hit me in the face with a pie anytime they want. Because it makes them super happy. And it takes the aggression out of it and... You know,
it normalizes
that's
it.
That's the way that it starts. And people, they love it.
Yeah.
My question for you is, you are going to give permission to someone, anyone through history, alive or dead, famous or infamous, to hit you in the face with a pie. Who would you like
to
throw the pie that you're going to receive, again, with love and
generosity? I know right away. I know right away. I'm going to give it to Gandhi because I think he could use a laugh. If you hit me in the face with a pie, and it's like the funny part about hitting someone in the face with a pie is that it's like the world is falling down when they get hit in the face with a pie. It's always a high-status person. You never see a homeless tramp get hit in the face with a pie. Where's the joke in that? Yep. Even the wealthy dowager does. Like, and then when they do, they're always like, oh, and they like wipe. They take their fingers and they wipe the cream out of their eyes, and it's just like, what? Outrageous! They say the phrase outrageous. Like, so I feel like Gandhi could really use that sweet release. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm telling you right now, I would play ball. If Gandhi hit me in the face with the pie, I would give him the catharsis of his life. I would stomp my feet around. I would go, what in the world? I'd go, Gandhi! Like, I would do the whole thing. I would put on it. Because it's like, that guy worked really hard.
Yeah.
At pacifism, non-aggression. Got hit with sticks all the time, and he was like, bring it on, more sticks, please. Like, you know, first they hit you, then they beat you, blah, 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 then you win. It's like, yeah, well, he did it. That guy did it. That guy deserves to pie me in the face. And again, I got a big face. He might need two pies.
You might need two pies.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's an interesting thing. Here, I'm going to give you a little card.
Give it to me.
It's pie yourself free. People, if you've listened to the show more than once, I talk about this every so often, but you now are welcome to give this permission to other people in your life, friends and family, people who love you. Give the gift this holiday season that keeps on giving. Give your friends and family permission to hit you in the face with a pie or a squirt seltzer anytime and without warning.
That's cool.
And you can go on my Facebook page and
I will.
Like it or promote it.
I will. I'll do all that.
Yeah. And if you get hit in the face with a pie, as you post photos or a couple people posted videos, like guys I don't even know in other parts of the country.
I'll do that. That's awesome.
Taking a pie for Christ or, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, Gandhi.
I was going to take it for Gandhi. Some people take it for Christ. Some people take it for nothing. But they all take it. And I'll give it. And I'll take it. Thank you.
There you go. Yeah. So feel free to hit. You can hit me in the face with a pie if we meet again.
I might do that.
All right. Now, there's one more thing that I like to do in this show, which is to anagram things. I don't know if you anagram very frequently, but...
I'm no good at it, but I would love to hear what you did.
Well, I'm not a savant. You know, I just go online and there's a... a web page. So first, I anagrammed your name, Asterios Kokinos.
Uh-huh.
I mean, again, where's the accent go? It goes in the
front. Everywhere. Oh, it's one long, just draw one big accent over the whole name.
Because I don't want to say Kokinos.
Nope.
But it's Kokinos.
Asterios Kokinos.
Asterios.
Yeah.
Kokinos. So here are a couple things that it said. Okra, it's kookiness.
Can you think of anything that's less kookiness than okra? I feel like that's an advertising campaign for okra where it's just like, this is just not connecting.
They need to rebrand it.
They need to rebrand. Exactly. You know what? Here's how I advertise okra. It's okay to be boring sometimes. You know what? Boring people get things done. Have yourself some okra. It's okay to eat okra. That's how I advertise that. I wouldn't be like, okra, electric guitar, let's go surfing, yeah, okra, it'll change your life. Like, no, that's not okra. That's not
Skittles
okra.
Taste the rainbow, okra, it's kookiness. I think there might be something there.
Let's test it.
Let's test it. We'll do some focus groups, yeah. We'll do a little copy testing.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So that makes sense. The other one is this one, Estonia irks kooks.
That I believe.
Because Estonia freaks a lot of people out.
It absolutely does. Isn't there some ancient Estonian currency that's like £1,000? Isn't there like a big Estonian wheel and it was like, this is $8 in Estonian currency? Like, if I was a kook, that would irk the shit out of me.
You just said something.
I'm listening.
That may have... be providing the answer to an age-old question.
Sure.
If the Estonian currency was so large, we mean literal pounds, not British pounds.
No, no, no.
Giant things.
Yeah.
And you needed to take this large stone-bound currency to the marketplace. Mm-hmm. How could you get it there? You would make it round.
Oh, my God.
So that you could wheel it. You would invent the wheel.
Yes!
That maybe this is how it happened.
That makes so much sense because you need to get to the market.
Yep.
You need to buy your things.
Elderberries, some milk, a little bread, you know.
Bitter roots, herbs.
Instant coffee.
Exactly. Yeah. Your Stanka, your Nescafe.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, once again, it is showing us that consumerism is the engine of technology and devolution.
The customer is always right.
That's exactly right.
The customer is always right. So if you have large stone-bound triangular currency,
that's not.
You don't get any shopping done.
And what's everyone's favorite thing to do? Buy things. I'm bored, I want to buy things. I'm sad, I want to buy things. I'm happy, I want to buy things.
Yeah.
You know, I'm on a date, I'm going to buy things. Oh, she just broke up with me, I'm going to buy things. It's like...
So we need round currency.
Yes!
That can get to market.
Yes!
I think we're going to check this out. We're going to Google this. This is the origin of the wheel.
It's the first thing that makes... It's the first explanation I've ever heard that makes sense to me.
That I've heard... That... Somebody said that to me before also.
Yeah!
Yeah. Okay, so... you know, the game with this anagramming is if we think any of the anagrams of your name or something, you know, reveal kind of new things. Okra, it's kookiness. We're going to need some testing, additional testing then.
Mm-hmm.
But Estonia,
I might be wrong.
Estonia irks kooks. You think that's right on?
I think that is 100% on the money. If you are a kook, you will be irked about everything. There's planes flying over your head. Oh, they must be chemtrails. There's fluoride in my water to make sure that my teeth don't rot out of my head. Ah, that's probably giving me autism. Like, somebody wants to inject my baby with a serum that makes it so they don't die of polio. I'm so irked. Let me get on the internet. It's like anything in Irkutsk, Estonia.
Is there something in particular that we know about Estonia?
Other than Estonia's giant currency, which would irk me, because here's the thing. Let's say I got to go buy some crystals so I can talk to my ancient ancestors tonight. How am I going to get the money down there? I fucking can't. Now I'm an irked kook. But let's see. What else do we know about Estonia? Do you know anything about Estonia?
All I know is that it's close to Lithuania and Latvia.
Where I think I would rather be.
Which one, Lithuania or Latvia?
Either one over Estonia. It's like Lithuania, you've had Lithuanian food, it's delicious. Latvia, Dr. Doom runs Latvia. You're there, you're in the Oh, no, that's Latveria. Damn it.
Very close, though.
Oh, I was so close. Anyway, now, you know what? Now I'm getting hurt because I don't know enough about Estonia. So there you go.
I did one time know a Latvian poet named Carlos Freevalds.
Okay.
Interesting guy.
Was he hot?
No, he was not hot, but it made me always want to go to Latvia.
Yeah.
I've never been to Latvia.
Neither have I.
There's still time. All right, there's one more thing that I anagrammed.
Talk to me.
Boisterous Coconuts.
Yes.
Because that's your kind of alter ego.
That's my internet nickname.
And that has yielded some also interesting things.
Wow.
I like this one. What's this one?
Subconscious Tutor.
Yeah.
And that's, of course, toot spelled T-O-O-T-E-R.
Yeah, it's not teaching someone. It's stinking them out.
Indeed.
Let's clarify what kind of tutor we're talking about.
Exactly.
They're really divergent.
I'm a entirely conscious tutor, personally.
Really?
Yeah. It's
even in sleep?
Well, but that doesn't, it's like, but that's if a tree falls.
Unconscious tooting.
That's definitely unconscious tooting. Like, and plus there's no effect. If I'm tooting, I'm doing it to make a statement.
So it's fully conscious.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Fully conscious.
There's no collective unconscious for my tooting. Sorry. All right, okay. What else we got? Sonorous cubic totes.
Yeah. I just thought about this. Sonorous cubic totes. I just thought about sonorous means it sounds good,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a kind of square, like maybe Trader Joe's recyclable shopping bag or box.
Mm-hmm.
The musical, how about this? A Trader Joe's musical grocery box. Sonorous cubic tote.
I'm into that. I always love the grocery boxes. I need more boxes. Whenever they give me the bags, I'm always like, eh. It's like they're just going to crush these boxes up. I used to work at a grocery store. I used to operate the cardboard crusher. It's the most fun thing in the world to crush cardboard. It's so great. And if that can happen while there was some nice sonorous sounds, even better.
What are the sonorous sounds of the cardboard crusher?
Yeah, it's like, look, there'll be more cats. We'll be fine. We're not going to miss that one.
I have a quick cat story.
Talk to me.
I'm on this.
And then unfortunately, I'm so sorry. I got to go to my next thing. I want to hear the story, though.
The cat story is this. I'm on this neighborhood bulletin board called Nextdoor.
Yeah.
And somebody posted a thing yesterday that said, I buried someone else's cat. I went outside. I saw my cat dead in the driveway. I assumed it got hit by a car. I buried it. 2 weeks later, my cat came home. Is anybody missing a cat? And there were all these posts by people in the neighborhood saying, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Maybe you want to dig up the cat and take it to the plings. They could check it for a clip. I said, thank you for posting the funniest thing that happened this week.
Dear Lord in heaven.
Everybody else was like, oh, that's so terrible. Oh, my gosh, what are you going to do? I'm like, are you kidding?
That's really, really funny.
Yeah. All right. Anything else here, boisterous coconuts, that looks good?
I like riotous bounced. I like riotous bounce costs.
Yeah.
Riotous bounce costs. Because it makes me think, like, look, if there's a riot and you need a bouncer to help out with that riot, that's going to cost something.
I thought it could also be, you know, those bounce houses that kids use.
Yep.
Because they're like,
those ain't cheap.
Well, and then they kind of scalp you. If you get them on the black market, they can really scalp you. And,
oh, my God, you're right.
Yeah. You got to go through established channels for the bounce houses.
No. Oh, my Lord. I can't think of anything more dangerous than an improperly set up bounce house. Because those kids are going four or five times their own height. And they land. Wow, that could happy birthday. Miserable birthday.
On another kid, yeah. That's how fast it changes.
That's, oh my God, life happens.
Well, I would like to thank my very special guest, stand-up comedian Boisterous Coconuts, for coming in this week.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. If you'd like to buy a Comedy Death Star coffee mug, email me at comedydeathstar@acsdigital.tv. Dylan Vigil is our producer and engineer. Our theme music was written and performed by Dean Mermel. You've been listening to Comedy Death Star, the official podcast of Actors Comedy Studio, right here in Hollywood, USA. I'm your host, Denzel Myers. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Estudios. Nice to meet you.
A pleasure. Hope we see each other again.
We will.
Oh, yeah!
Woo-hoo!